the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless with awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Turns our chaos back into order. Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. All that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. You are worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross.
Church, it's nice to know you're out there. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for who you are and for what you've done. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with us this morning as we worship all around Seminole, Orange, and Volusia counties. Lord, I pray your blessing for those who are worshiping in those spaces and those who are worshiping even far beyond. I ask your blessing on those in Texas. I ask your blessing on those just everywhere in the country that are worshiping you this name this day. Father, I pray for those who are gathering. It's the first week out for us, and Lord, in some ways we are excited and nervous and all of the mix that goes into our humanity. But Lord, remind us constantly that you are greater and bigger than our humanity. And help us to pray, Lord, as you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, Lord. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father high above, hallowed be your name. Reveal to us again who you are. All things are possible out of the miracles. Let your will be done.
As we pray for heaven here today, your kingdom to reign. All we need, forgive us everything. Help us to love as you have loved us. Now come and build your throne as we go where you go. Let your kingdom come.
As we pray for heaven here today, your kingdom to reign.
Is the kingdom, the power and glory, now and forever. Amen. Oh, yours is the kingdom, the power and glory, now and forever.
You guys sound good. Good to see you guys this morning. Good to see all of you as well. Thanks for joining us this morning. Thanks for being a part of our celebration worship experience today. And we are thrilled and honored that you're with us. Whether you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, the website, the app, or watching us later on and you decide you want to skip it live and sleep in, we're just glad that you're with us. We hope that you will worship over the next couple of minutes. We hope that God will speak to you and that you will discover some very true realities that will change the course of this week. And so we're continuing our series, which is called Hold On, as we are now moving through what is a season where we are kind of opening up the state of Florida, across the country some things are opening up. If you haven't seen it yet, go out and see the video that we posted called The Return. Our campus will actually reopen in just a few weeks, and so that we'll be giving you a lot of information about that, and so we look forward to maybe getting to see some of you in person. But if not, don't worry, we're going to keep streaming. But we're going to continue our series today by going to Psalm 118. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up and leave those open. Actually, I lied to you. We're going to be in Psalm 20. We're in Psalm 118 in Sunrise Bible Study. So Psalm 20, we're just a little corona crazy. And we're going to talk about getting a grip. Getting a Grip is the title of this particular Bible study this morning. I'm going to teach, we're going to sing, we're going to go back and forth on that a little bit. And so we hope that you will follow along and join us as we move through. You will remember, if you are a country music fan, this name is familiar to you, Garth Brooks. Believe it or not, before the virus days hit, there used to be things in the world called concerts. where people would get together in large groups and they would pay to see an artist and their band on a stage together, and they would be loud and they would be raucous performances and stuff like that. And when it comes to entertainers, Garth Brooks is certainly one of the best. Back in February of this past year, this picture went out on Instagram. And if you look at the screen, I think the picture's popping up now. Boom, right there. That is Garth Brooks standing, getting ready to go on stage in Detroit, Michigan. And he is wearing the jersey of retired Detroit running back Barry Sanders. Now, this photo was posted on Instagram just before he went on stage, wearing the Sanders jersey with the number 20. But if you remember back in history, back when you could remember such things, before the virus days, there was something else that was going on that was kind of a big deal and gobbling up all the news. We were in a season where we were trying to come up with candidates to run for president of the United States. And back in February, the Democratic primary was in full bore, full news coverage, filling the airways up with all sorts of information. And so in February, when Garth Brooks puts on this Sanders jersey to step out on stage in Detroit, Michigan, and it hit Instagram, as you might imagine, there was an instant reaction. Because if you don't remember that far back, because the virus has lasted too long, there was a political battle going on between Joe Biden, who is the presumptive Democratic Party nominee for president, and Bernie Sanders, the senator from Vermont. And when people saw this picture, the assumption was that Garth Brooks was giving an endorsement to Bernie Sanders for 2020. And so immediately, people began to respond. Good grief, responded one Instagram user. Can't you just do what you get paid to do, Garth? Why does it have to involve politics? So sad. We don't pay good money for anything other than watch you perform. We thought you were different. However, Bernie Sanders followers decided they would play in and jump in as well. And they said, wow, looks like Garth Brooks just became my favorite country singer. Feel the burn, 2020. Even Barry Sanders himself got caught up in the fun. And he said, hey, Garth Brooks, you want to be my vice presidential candidate? Sanders for president, 2020, number 20 for 2020. Garth Brooks laughed it off at the end, but he did make this statement, which was a powerful statement. He said, when we get caught up in instant outrage, we do run the risk of looking foolish. And instead, we ought to posture ourselves to just react a little bit better. What he was saying in a very kind way was, get a grip. And you know people, and I know people, that from time to time, we've looked at their world, we've looked at their life, and we've wanted to look at them and just say, well, you just get a grip. We just calm down. We just settle down. But we live in a world that gets a little nuts sometimes. And we certainly have been through a season where people are more than just a little bit crazy. Good times and bad times are cyclical. I mean, they come and they will go. And when we look back in history, when you look back over the course of these past few months, you know, you may look back and go, that was a horrible time. Or some will look back and go, you know, it wasn't as bad as we thought it was when we were going through it. I mean, and time will tell. History will give us a little bit more perspective on that. As we begin to move forward, we'll be able to look back and see it a little bit more clearly. And so maybe this stretch is as bad as any stretch has been. Maybe not. That'll be debated, I'm sure. But it doesn't change the fact that times have been tough. Things have been disruptive. Things are a little bit different now than they were, it seems like, just a few months ago. And so when you move through seasons like that, there are two mistakes that we make. And this is kind of where we start today, and then we're going to sing a little bit more. But the two mistakes we make is this. One mistake that we make is that when times of trouble come along, we let the crisis play with our head. In other words, we get depressed, we get fearful, we start thinking, this is it. This is the beginning of the end. This is the way it's always going to be. It's never going to be any different. And in our own headspace, we start doing this battle back and forth where we are just convincing ourselves that the world is falling apart and it's never going to change. And that's a mistake because we know better than that, but we get caught up in the moment. The second mistake that we make is that in times of trouble, we tend to react rather than respond. And when we begin to react, everything becomes a knee-jerk. Everything becomes an extreme. Everything becomes just a quick fix to taking care of what the immediate need is. And there's certainly times that you have to do that. But the truth is that a measured response and a more sane response and a more sound response sometimes would help us out. And so although it's easy to say, don't overreact, But sometimes if we would take that extra breath, take and go to the second thought, go to that moment where you kind of pause for just a minute before you do something, you'll discover that you can navigate situations much better. But one way or the other, we are moving through a time, a period of our history where we're getting ready to come out of what has been a nationwide shutdown. Things are going to open up, and they're certainly going to look a little bit different. But the real question is, what kind of shape will you be in when that happens? What will you look like when the storm has passed? What's going to happen in your world as you move forward and look differently? I mean, even this week in the state of Florida, we have some beauty salons that are opening back up and some things that are happening now where people are actually going out and getting haircuts and things for the very first time, feeling like they're getting ready to reemerge from what has been a never-ending long stretch where none of that was available. And so in our lives, stepping forward and coming back out of these storms and these seasons is important, and how we do it is important. And so this morning, we're going to talk about five points in this one. That you can hold on to in the midst of those difficult circumstances, in the midst of coming out of that storm, in the midst of moving through and learning to hold on and get a grip of the things that are most important that will allow you to be successful as you emerge from this season of life. And so if you would, take a moment, bow your heads and hearts. Let's pray as we continue our celebration together. God, we are so thankful that we can get together. We're so thankful for moments like this where we can celebrate. We're thankful for moments where we are able to connect. And Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the way that you have carried us through this season of life. We need your help as we continue to move through it. And we definitely need your help as we begin to reemerge from it on the other side into a world that will be somewhat different because of the disruption. As God, we want to do that well. As followers, as people who call ourselves children of the King, we want to be able to do that and lead the way. And so, God, help us this morning, even in this psalm, to see some things that when we will plug them into our life, we will discover healthy, spiritual, powerful ways that we can move into the future because we've held on to the right things. And so, God, that is our prayer this morning as we continue our celebration. Let the voices that we lift to you, allow those to become the cry of our heart song this morning, as we celebrate you. In Jesus' name, amen.
To wait upon you, Lord. My
Let me read to you the passage that we're looking at this morning. Psalm 20 says this: may the Lord answer you when you're in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burnt offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the king. Answer us when we call. Florencina Rastelli was mortified. As she wiped the counter of the cafe where she worked, she knocked over a glass and it shattered loudly on the floor. The customers all came to a stop, petrified. Florencina recalled, "I was like, of all the days to do this, this one." It was at that moment that a police officer stepped inside and looked at her and saw what happened and said, "Can you please keep it down?" And he stepped back outside. This took place in January of 2019. The place is Cremona, Italy. And the people there on this particular day were incredibly sensitive to noise. The police had blocked off all of the streets. The city center, empty. Traffic had been diverted. The city's mayor had implored the people to avoid any sudden, any unnecessary sounds because of what was going on. Now, Cremona is a place where it is known to be the home or the hub of some of the finest instrument makers in the world, including Antonio Stradivari. Now, the Stradivarius is a violin that you have heard of. It is a violin that produces some of the finest sounds ever made. Their cellos do the same. And the city, in January of 2019, got behind what was a project that was created to record digitally the sounds of the Stradivarius instruments for posterity. And that meant being quiet, because they wanted future generations not to miss out on hearing the instruments. And so what they began was a project called the Stradivarius Sound Bank, a database that was designed to grab all the possible tones those instruments could produce. They had tried and they had misfired, and they thought the project was ready to go, but as they recorded it, the sound engineer had to keep stopping over and over again because they found out a major flaw was taking place. As they were trying to record this project, the sound of a car engine from outside, somewhere far away, would come in and ruin their take. It would be some noise from the city that was happening. And so they finally had to come and petition the city and the city council and the city fathers to simply say, "We're trying to do this, and this is so important for our city, for history in itself. We need your help." And as a result, in last January, they began to shut down the city, if you will, before the virus days. But they shut it down for another reason: to capture forever the sound that needed to be captured. On this particular day, on this particular moment, the engineers were well underway and recording was going well. And then it happened. The sound engineer said, "Oh, stop, please." And they took a moment. They went back and went back to the playback. And sure enough, he asked the question out loud, "Who dropped that glass on the floor?" From an unseen place, that breaking glass ruined the take. And they went back and they started again. They wanted the quietness and the holy hush to take place so that they could be in awe of the sounds that were being produced. The clearest, the best, the most amazing music in the world they were trying to capture in that moment. You know, we don't approach things with that kind of awe. We don't approach those kind of moments with a holy hush. But this, believe it or not, is one of those passages where I think if there was a way to do it, we ought to approach it with that kind of holy hush. That moment where we just don't want to miss a thing of what's being said here and be in awe of the God who makes us these promises that will help us and give us something to hold on to as we begin to reemerge from this crazy season of life that we're in. This is a passage that reminds us that no matter what, God can see us through, he'll get us through, and we're going to make it. It is a reminder that no matter where you are right now in life, you're not alone and God hasn't forgotten about you. And so today, as you're watching live or as you watch in the hours or days that follow, it might be a reminder that you need. And so buckle up, let's go and move through a couple of things that we need to hold on to that will make us successful, not just today, but as we move forward and we come to the end of this particular season that we're currently in. The first thing I want you to see is you've got to hold on to your hope. Hold on to your hope. Verse 1 says this, "In times of trouble, may the Lord answer your cry." David begins the psalm with acknowledging the reality that there will be times where we will be in trouble. There are going to be circumstances that aren't so good. There are going to be seasons of life that are more difficult than others. But in it, he never lets go of hope. He also goes on to say, "May the name of the God of Jacob keep you safe from all harm." Drop down to verse 5. "May we shout for joy when we hear of your victory." And then verse 8, he affirms that we will rise up and stand firm. It's a good thing to remember when you're going through seasons of life that are tough, when you're moving through the storms of life, that you need to hold on to your hope. Hold on no matter what the situation is. Hold on even when things are unfolding in ways that you didn't anticipate, because God loves you and he will get you where you need to go and he will see you through. A word that sometimes is interchanged with hope that is good is optimism. Sometimes that's a way to describe hope. It's expecting the best. And you can expect the best, not because we live in a good world, but because we belong to a good God. And we have, as his children, the opportunity to expect the best because our God promises that. Paul would write later on in Romans 8:28, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." Believe it or not, even a pandemic is an event, a season, a time of life that God is going to weave together for good. And we will be able to look back at that tapestry and see how it fits together, because God is everything that he said he would be and so much more. And so you keep your hope alive by remembering that that's the God that we follow. That's the God that we serve. He is working things out on your behalf. Even today, he is working behind the scenes of your life to move around and nudge those things that need to be nudged, because he, in the midst of all of this, has never forgotten about you. And you can keep your hope alive by remembering that you're not alone. There are people who love you. There are people who care about you. And there are people who want to be there to help you. And there is a God who created you in his image, who loves you as well. That's why David wrote, "May we shout for joy when we hear of your victory, and we will rise up and stand firm." Because he knew that in times of trouble and in seasons of life, when it's tough to hold on, that if we hold on to that hope, we will come through it and discover that we were never alone. And so today, I want you to understand that no matter what's going on around you, you are not alone. You never have been. You might say, "Well, Jeff, I felt that way." Well, feelings are fickle, and your feelings can deceive you. But the reality and the truth and the promise of God's word, you can hold on to that as well you're never alone. The second thing that I want you to see is you also, if you're going to come through this thing and come through this thing in good shape, you need to hold on to your commitments. Hold on to your commitments. Verse 3 says this, may he remember all your gifts and look favorably on your burnt offerings. Now, we all know that we're called to serve God by serving others. We've already talked to a great extent about the fact that we are people who can see our lives as being blessed, that God blesses us, that that's God's default. He just blesses us in spite of ourselves, and that we are blessed to bless others, and that we're called by people to live our lives as being blessed. And because we're blessed, we'll live differently in a world around us that desperately needs to catch a glimpse of Jesus. But we also, in doing that, we've made a commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and that means we follow him with our time, with our words, with our gifts, with our talents, with who we are. And often during times of trouble, one of the things that happens to us is our first reaction is to put on hold so many things and go into retreat mode. One of the most frightening things about the stay-at-home orders that came across our nation is that people begin to hunker down, and sometimes in the midst of hunkering down, we put so many things on hold that we never intend to pick back up. I've been in church a long time now, a lot longer than I want to admit, and I've been doing what I do now for a long time. And many times I've heard people say, I'm going through some changes, I'm facing some difficulties at work, I'm having some struggles in this area, and I need to step out of serving and being involved in certain things for a while. And so they put on hold some of the things that they've been doing. And so it's a children's ministry worker, or it's a student worker, or something in a music department that gets put on hold. They step back from helping people. They step back from giving people some of the things they used to do. It's like they've tried to hit a pause button with their life. The sad thing is that so for many people, though, after the weather clears, after the storm passes, a small fraction of these people ever step back in and pick back up what it is that they stepped away from. Now, let's be honest. It's just us. Nobody else is listening. We're streaming live, but you have no idea who else is listening, so it's just us talking right now. When someone stops doing the things that God has called them to, when they stop giving, when they stop serving, you know why they do it, right? Well, think about it. When we have to make cuts, when we cut back in our life, we default to cutting back on the waste. We default to cutting back on things that we don't really need. And so when the pressure of life is on and people start trying to step away and pull away from things and they decide that God is on that list, what they're making is a statement about where they are in their journey of faith that basically says, God, I don't think the time I'm investing for you here is worth it. I don't believe what I'm doing is making an eternal difference. I don't believe that you really have your handle on what's going on in my world right now, so I'm going to push off my plate those things that you've called me to do, that you've called me to be, and the obedience that you've had for me. And that's what happens. Now, again, we probably wouldn't say that in public, but this is just us talking. We can talk about things like this right now because we've been going through a season that's a little bit tough. But one of the things that we have to be very, very sure that we do, because it is just as much for our survival as individuals, it is for the groups that we're connected to, is that you have to hold on to your commitments. Because we get tempted to say, what's the use? It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter that I'm there or I'm not there. It doesn't matter that I give or I don't give. It doesn't matter that I serve here or I don't serve here. It matters. And it matters because if it's something that God has called you to do, you have to keep it up. It's something that God has called you to do. It's a part of your wiring, your spiritual DNA. It's what makes you you. It was what makes you the best version of you. And so when we push back and we back away from those commitments that we made, especially in a difficult season, what happens is we begin cutting out those things that we don't think are important and we don't give value to. But I want you to know that God gives value to them. And they're just as valuable to him now as they were before any season of life started. And so if you want to emerge on the other side of this healthy, and if you want to emerge on the other side of this whole, and if you want to emerge on the other side of this ready to face whatever it is that God has for you next, not only do you have to hold on to your hope, but you have to hold on to that calling that he has put in your life to become the best version of yourself and be everything that you were created to be. Because if that call is real, and I believe it is, and you can back away from it, then it hasn't had that place of priority that it needs to have. It doesn't have the value that it needs to have in your life, and it has to. And God always blesses obedience. So you hold on to that. Don't let it go. It's what makes you you and what makes you the person you were created to be. The third thing I want you to see is also you need to hold on to your dreams. Hold on to your dreams. Hold on to those things that God has placed in your heart that you're chasing. Verse 4 says this, may he grant your heart's desires and make all your plans succeed. You know, one of the things that happens to us in the midst of tough times, in the midst of seasons like this when the world seems to go upside down is we just kind of get that defeated exhale feeling that we're just exhausted and we just want to give up. We talked about it already, that we feel like sometimes what we do doesn't matter. But we feel like, you know, I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to accomplish this thing. I feel like I'm chasing this thing. And now all of a sudden it's all kind of unraveled and kind of gone apart. One of the things that's happened in the midst of this pandemic is simply this. It's let you see some areas of your life that were strong. And it's also exposed some areas of your life that were incredibly weak that needed repair. And none of that is necessarily a bad thing. The things that were strong, hopefully you've accented and it's driven you and it's allowed you to do some things that maybe you weren't doing before so that when you reemerge, you'll be better shape or stronger. For those areas of your life that were weak that you really needed to put under the microscope, well, maybe this was the point of what God was trying to do with you in the midst of this. He was giving you an opportunity to examine some things and take a look inside at who you are, because we are so quick to blame everyone around us for everything that goes wrong. But at the end of the day, you have to take responsibility for you. And you can't fix the world around you. We've discovered that in these past few weeks. You can only do things that you have some control over. You can only take responsibility for the things that you can do. And so don't let go of those dreams and those desires that God has placed in your heart, because those are the things that really do matter. Now, you say, well, how do I know if it's a God dream or it's just my dream? Well, that's a discussion maybe for a whole other time. But I can guarantee you this, that those things that God places on your heart are things that will touch and change the world around you and impact the lives of others and make a permanent impression that lasts for eternity in the world around you. Those kinds of dreams and those kind of hopes you've got to hold on to. And when you come out of this season of pandemic, these virus days when they pass, will it look different? Probably so. Will it be business as usual? Probably not. Will it be that you can just go right back and do everything that you were doing before and expect the same results? I can almost guarantee you that it won't. But remember this. Someone said one time that success is a lousy teacher. And hopefully, that's often true. It sometimes takes a setback or a change in the world around you to reevaluate what you're doing and how it's working. And so when you're moving through seasons like this, don't abandon your goals. Don't abandon your dreams. Don't jettison all your plans. Fine-tune them. Clarify them. Bring them back under that microscope where God will help you examine them and see them closer for what they need to be. But hold on to your dreams, because that ability to dream and have a God-given dream is a part of all of our spiritual wiring. And it ties back into what we said earlier. You lose your dreams, you lose hope. And those are all things we have to hold on to. And the fourth thing, and this is very churchy, very practical, but it would be simply be hold on to your prayer life. In verse 5, David says, may the Lord answer all your prayers. May the Lord answer all your prayers. And then drop down to verse 9 where he says more emphatically, give victory to our King, O Lord. Answer our cry for help. See, when you pray and ask for help in any endeavor, you're not being selfish. You're doing exactly what God asked you to do. Now, if the prayer doesn't line up with what he wants, he'll take care of that. That's his problem. And God can always take care of whatever it is that needs to be taken care of. But he does ask us to come to him, to talk to him. And you're not inconveniencing God when you pray. He cares about those things that others might say are petty and trivial and really not worth it. God cares about those things. He cares about those big things, those major things, those life-shaping, life-shaking things that you're dealing with. He cares about those as well. He cares about how you're going to pay this bill. He cares about where you're going to go. He cares about how it is that you're going to reemerge. He cares about where you work. He cares about how you spend your time. He cares about those things, and he invites us to come and talk to him, and he opens up his arms and is waiting for us to speak with him. And you don't have to worry. God can focus on more than one thing. Where we're not really good at multitasking, God is. And God can process all of those requests. He can hear what's going on, and he's already moving to respond to meet your need before you ever get that need out of your mouth, because he already knows your heart. But the reason that we talk to him is because he's invited us to. Your creator has invited his creation, that's you and me, to come before him and speak, knowing that we have a confidence that he hears us, and not just that he hears, but he responds. See, God doesn't just tolerate you. He's crazy about you. And I don't mean that to sound irreverent, but he is madly in love with you, and he loves it when you spend time talking with him. And I know a lot of times when seasons of life are a little bit tough, or we get frightened, or we get fearful, we cry out to God a lot, and we say, God, help us, and we confess that we're afraid, and we know that we don't need to be afraid, but we're having trouble with that. And that doesn't bother God. He knows that. But he wants you and invites you to stay connected to him continually, so that as you have this ongoing conversation with God, he can speak back into your world and reassure you and help you discover the hope that we're talking about, and help you discover that there is a future beyond this day. And your world doesn't have to be so small and so compact, because God sees a bigger picture, and he sees how you fit into that big picture. So you keep praying. You hold on to them. He will answer you. And I'm not saying that because you don't have to believe that because I'm telling you that. You can believe that because God has says he'll answer you. The fifth thing I want you to see that you need to hold on to is simply this. Hold on to your priorities. Hold on to what's most important. In verse 7, David writes, some nations boast of their chariots and horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God. One good thing that happens in the midst of viruses, one good thing that happens in the midst of tough days, one good thing that happens in the midst of moments that are tough is that it will make it really obvious where you put your trust. As I mentioned earlier, you know, when you go through seasons like we've been through, it does accelerate and reveal some things. And for some of you, you've seen some areas of your spiritual walk that need to be strengthened. Don't waste that. Don't forget about that when we get to the end of this thing and reemerge. Continue to give those and bring those to God. Allow this to be a time where he kind of does that transformational work in you and reconstructs and rebuilds and strengthens you. Others of you have seen some areas that were much stronger than you thought, but you never knew how strong they would be until you had the opportunity to put them to the test. But now here we are, and we've had to go through some testing days. We found those days where we've been riding a roller coaster, it seems, and there's been days that we've been up, days that we've struggled a little bit more. But what happens at the end of it, we've discovered no matter the high or the low of it, God has been in the midst of it, and we've been able to go through it. There was somebody a few years ago after our election that was worried about the way the election had turned out, and they said, and they came to me and they said, Jeff, we know that you don't bring a lot of you don't bring politics into the pulpit, but I'm just so concerned about the way this last election has gone. I'm so worried about what's going to happen next. What do you think about that? which is a horrible thing to ask the pastor about politics. But I said, you know what? Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but I choose to remember the name of the Lord our God. That was my answer. That's my politics. I can't do a whole lot about what anybody else is doing. And you know what? If you're like I am and you watch news and sometimes, well, here's a test. If you can watch news and hear what's going on in Washington and not go like this, at least one time, you're not watching the right broadcast. I mean, I can't think of a day that I won't hear the news and I just think to myself, what kind of craziness is that? What are they thinking? So here's the deal. What and who are you going to put your trust in? I'm going to put my trust in the Lord God. And I believe in our future. I believe in our future because we have a great God. I don't believe in our future because of promises that anybody makes or anybody doesn't make. I believe in the future because of the promises of God. I don't face tomorrow based on the basis of how much money I have in the bank. I face tomorrow without fear because I know that the God who owns a cattle on a thousand hillsides, if I need a cow, he'll kill a cow. And to all you animal rights activists out there, don't take that personal. And I know that when I face situations where my level of happiness might change or my peace and satisfaction in life might change, that has nothing to do with the reality of the circumstance around me, but I can find peace and satisfaction and stability in that relationship that I have with my Heavenly Father because He gives a peace that passes all understanding. He gives a joy that goes beyond any other emotion I can have. He gives me the security of knowing that no matter how bad it gets, that He will hold me in His hand and nothing will ever take me from His hand. And when times are good, I can remember that it's God and He is the one who's blessing me. And when times are tough, I can remember that God is the one who's going to see me through. And so I'm going to be able to put my trust in Him and know that I'm going to be able to hold on and I will make my priority following and becoming who I was created to be, because that's how my Heavenly Father intends it to be. And so one of the great lessons that many of you have had to come to grips with, and one of the great lessons that a lot of us have learned in the midst of this, is that God really is real and He's in charge. And He's been the source that you've gone to that has given you stability to navigate this. Some who will be watching, maybe later on, you haven't navigated it so well. And you're hearing us talk about God and be like, I don't have a relationship with Him. I don't understand what you're talking about. Well, guess what? That may be why you're at this moment right now watching us as you are. And you need to make a decision. The decision is to believe, trust, and follow Jesus. Believe that He is what He said. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Him. There is only one way to heaven. It has nothing to do with how good you are, how good you think you are. It's not one of many roads. It's one way. But the one who created the path is the one who gives you the invitation. And so you're invited to believe and trust and follow Him. And that's a decision of the head. And it's a decision of the heart. And if that's a decision that you want to make, we would love for you to email us. Just fire us off an email and let us know, hey, I've made this decision. I want to make sure I get this right. I want that eternity and that security and that peace that God promises. I don't want to live life afraid. You can discover that. Make the decision to believe, trust, and follow. Send us that email. We'll send you stuff immediately that will let you know how you can do that and what you need to do next, and we'll help you kind of find those places to plug in so that you can grow and you can find those resources you need that will kind of take you on that journey of what it means to be a follower. But hold on to those priorities, because as you come back from this and as we move through this, and we will move through this into an unstoppable future, you want to make sure that you're ready and you don't miss any of that future that God has for you. This is a psalm that we ought to approach with a holy hush and be in awe of what's there, because we have so many different things that we can hold on to that will get us where we need to be. Let's pray for just a moment again. God, we worship in Your word and we're excited about what we read there, because we recognize the fact that these have been unexpected days. They've been days where everything that we thought that we knew, everything that could have happened, nothing seemed to go the way we planned or thought. We've been stretched. We've been stretched pretty thin. We've been stretched, and we've had to wonder about who do we trust and who do we listen to. We've been bothered by some of the things that we've heard. We've been trying to find out truth in a world of misinformation, and that stretched us and left us tired. We want things to be normal, but we know that the normal that's coming is going to be a new normal, because our lives have been disrupted. Not paused, but disrupted. And so we're going to emerge from that in the days ahead, the near future. And things are going to be a little bit different, and we've got to get used to that and figure out how we fit and how we function in that. And so, Lord, for us to be able to do that, we have to hold on to You. In this psalm, so powerfully gives us things that we can hold on to, real things that will make all the difference. And Lord, as we just talked, that there are some who need to make the choice, the decision to believe, trust, and follow. And I pray for them right now. This would be their moment of decision. As You would step into their world and they would make that statement of faith that simply says, I don't understand it all, but I believe it. And Jesus, I'm going to trust You with my life, with my eternity. I need to find the forgiveness that only You can give and the future that only You can give. I'll live for You. And in that moment, a journey begins. that changes so much. And so, God, wherever we are this day, whenever we're watching, I pray that we would be reminded of the things that we've seen that we can hold on to, and that we would hold on tight so we don't miss the future that you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise to the Father, mighty and holy. Praise to the Son, who came for to die. Lift up your voice and sing of his mercy. People rejoice, he's given us life. It's all about love. It's all about Jesus. It's all about faith in the great I Am. It's all about joy in the Holy Spirit. It's all about Christ in you.
So Jesus, you brought heaven.
And say, at the name of Jesus, that every knee will bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. And when we get to the end of this run, we are going to say, Jesus, thank you for getting us where we need to be and helping us hold on till we get past this season that we're in now. Here's what sometimes I think we forget now as we're in whatever week number 347 of these virus days. We feel like they're never going to end. And it's tough because in some ways we're living history right now. Now, we didn't necessarily ask for it, but there will be a day that people will look back and they will talk about that time and 2020 after the Garth Brooks concert, that all of a sudden the world went into this pandemic shutdown. And we're going to look back and we're going to talk about those days and we'll remember them for what they were. Tough, different. We will talk about the things that we discovered and learned. We'll talk about what we liked or didn't like. But we're moving through and living through history and going to step into a new normal. And the passage reminds us, hold on. And when you're holding on to Jesus, you're holding on to the only source you can hold on to that will get you where you need to be. Corrie ten Boom was her name. During the Nazi occupation of Holland in World War II, the ten Boom family risked their own safety by hiding Jews in their house. Then on February 28, 1944, their home was raided and Corrie and her family were sent to a concentration camp. Her father and sister died in the camps, but through a miraculous series of events and circumstances, Corrie survived. And in 1975, her life story was made into a movie called The Hiding Place. Maybe you've seen the film. Maybe you've read the book. For many years, Corrie ten Boom traveled the world sharing her experiences, or maybe I should say, sharing her explanation of her experiences. And Corrie would often speak with her head down, often sitting on stage. And it looked like she was reading her notes. But what was happening as she was speaking is that she was working on a needlepoint. And she would work on this needlepoint with her head down, and she would talk about the atrocities she experienced at the hand of the Nazis. She talked about the pain of losing her family. She talked about how she could see the hand of God in the midst of what was going on, and she would talk about what God had taught her about what she had gone through, which was horrific at best, but she would just keep her head down and keep working on that needlepoint. And then when she would get to the end of her speaking, she would take the needlepoint and hold up the backside of the needlepoint in front of her, which was just a jumble of colors and threads with no discernible pattern. And she would point out that this needlepoint that she was working on is how we see our lives. It's a series of threads and colors and events that make no sense. And then she would turn around the needlepoint to show you the completed side with whatever she was working on, and it looked so neat and so nice, and it made sense, and it was so orderly. And she says, and this is how God sees your life. He sees it as a work of art. A masterpiece, if you will. Something where there is order that does make sense and it fits together. She said, in the midst of the storm, this is how we see our lives. But one day we'll have the opportunity to see it from this perspective. Your life is being woven together right now by God into that masterpiece. And so you keep hanging on. You hang on to your hopes. You hang on to your commitments. You hang on to your dreams. You hang on to your prayer life, and you hang on to your priorities. You hang on. Because God will bring you through. And together we're going to step into an unstoppable future that will defy our expectations and our imagination. We are a few weeks from reopening our campus. And so we are very excited about that. Somebody sent me an email this week when they heard that and said, Jeff, I think I like watch you better on video than in person. And I prayed that God would forgive you because your sins must be great. But we are looking forward to getting together with you very, very soon. Be watching the Facebook page for posts. Be watching your email box for the e-letter. Share with the people you meet as we start laying out what this looks like as we reopen and re-engage in a couple of weeks. And in the meantime, we look forward to streaming with you again over the course of the week. We'll continue to do that. Of course, we'll be streaming once we move back and have the campus open as well. So we're going to connect with you every way that we possibly can, but we're also looking forward to the very near future, being able to see some of you again face-to-face or face-behind-mask or however you choose to come in. We'll just be able to see you, and we're thrilled about that. So as always, know that you're loved. If there's something that you need or something that's happening that we need to know about, don't just assume that we know. Please let us know. Reach out. Call us. Email us. Find us somehow. Let us know what's happening. We're excited about the future that God has for us. We're also excited about the opportunity we have to move into that future together and see what God is going to do next. Once again, to all the folks that you can't see right now, but if you flip the camera around, you can see them. We got people working all around the room again. They have done a fantastic job making sure that you guys are seeing what needs to be seen. Here they are back here. Hi, guys. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. All the way over here. All the way over here on the other side. You know, that is farther than I've run through the whole pandemic. I'm exhausted. We got another camera operator up here. And, of course, we have the stage band up here, the No Name Band, who has done a fantastic job, as always. Thank you guys so much. I'm clapping for you, but I know people at home are clapping as well. I've seen little hands go up all over on the reaction page. All right. That being said, we look forward to seeing you next week. The band's going to play us out. May God bless you. Hey, remember that donate button in the middle of the webpage? That's yellow. If you touch it, you can donate and make sure that your gift where it needs to go. And if you reach out and you touch my hand right now, I'm just kidding. Go ahead. Let's play out and be done.